Now, how many remember where we are? It is by grace that each of the pillars that we really stand on here at the prayer center, it is the grace of God that empowers us to use them, that He has given it to us. Why? They don't originate really with man, but they originate with Him. Amen. How many know you didn't originate your tongues, but God did, didn't He? He's the one that said it, sent them. He's the one that sent the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I'm going to send you another comforter, one that's like me, that will teach you and guide you and lead you into all truth. One that's going to be in you and be with you, what, forever. Glory to God. We've got the greater one in us, the great Holy Spirit, to help us, to empower our new nature to walk with God. And that is part of the grace of God. That is God working with us and us working with God. There is a union and a partnership that we walk with God, and His empowerment comes to us as individuals. Now, we've been talking about some different things, and I'm going to start here, but we've been talking about the grace of God is multiplied to us through the knowledge of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, as we know more about Him. How many know the Holy Spirit only speaks what He hears from the Father? He begins to bring us the truth. The Holy Spirit brings us who Jesus really is, who He is in us, right? Who He is to us, who He is through us. And that's what begins to come forward. But I want to share, first of all, tonight, there's some different things that an individual can do. We can also, verse 1, we're looking at the true grace of God, and we're trying to understand what grace really is. It is the divine influence of God in our heart and His reflection in our life. It is God working in us, to us, and through us, that Jesus may be glorified. It is His divine power. It is connected in there, just like you have that new nature. It comes, by the grace of God. We didn't deserve it. We couldn't earn it. We can't do enough to get it in our own power. But Jesus paid the ultimate price, didn't He? That we might receive everything that He is, that God has provided for us. Now, 2 Corinthians 6:1 says that an individual can receive the grace of God in vain. What does that mean? We then, verse 1 says, we then, as workers together with Him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God, but in vain. Hallelujah. So, we want to remember that the grace of God could be received. In other words, it doesn't profit you, right? It's not going to help you. Amen. That means that they didn't take advantage of the grace of God that was there. He said, for He saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. So what's He saying here? He has succored us, or He has drawn us. He has helped us, in other words, right? He's helped us. He said, I've helped you, but that you have received not the grace of God, but in vain. Beseech you also, don't receive it in vain. It could be received in vain, right? That means we didn't mix our faith with what Jesus did. That would be receiving, saying, hey, oh, there's the grace of God, but we don't receive it in vain. Hallelujah. But an individual could receive grace in vain then. If we can receive it not in vain, then someone could receive it by what? By rejecting or not putting to action, not letting God, really putting their faith in what God has already already done. He said, oh, well, I'm saved, but that grace doesn't profit them because they're saying it doesn't matter what I do. That would be a way of in vain, right? It doesn't matter what my life does. I've got the grace of God. In other words, they acknowledge it. They may have said, I believe Jesus died, but I don't think he cares what I do. Oh my goodness. He does care what we do, doesn't he? Amen. So we don't receive it in vain. We receive it in truth. And we allow the grace of God to work with us. It is the love of God in action in us and through us. That's one of the simplest definitions that we've had, is God's love moving. It is God's compassion and mercy upon mankind, not because we could deserve it, but because we didn't deserve it. And he gave it to us, what, anyway? Even while we were yet sinners, he died for us. So that's the grace of God. But here, another thing we can say, Galatians 2:21, verse 21. I'm trying not to review too much here, but 21. It says here, Paul said, well, we know the verse in 20, of course, what we're crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, right? And he says, not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not, what? Frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness came by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. In other words, there was no other way to be made righteous but through Jesus Christ. We could say, in other words, he said, the grace of God is not meaningless, but it is full of power, and I do not frustrate it it can also be here, I don't set it aside, in other words. He's saying, I don't frustrate it. I don't set it aside as meaningless. How many know some have set the grace of God aside as meaningless by not really understanding the true grace of God? Hallelujah. Galatians, let's turn a few chapters over. Galatians chapter 5, verse 4. He says this, Christ has become of no effect unto you, whosoever you are justified by the law, but ye are what? Fallen by grace, from grace. Why? If you're trying to trust in the law, there is no grace left for you. The law could not save a man. And that's exactly what is being portrayed here. There's a difference between law and grace. See, the grace of God, it's just the opposite of law. It brings us into a relationship, and through a relationship with the Father, his grace is poured out, and his anointing, his power that works within, begins to come forward on the inside of us. It helps us, it strengthens us, and brings out everything we are in Christ Jesus as we yield to his ability on the inside of us. Oh, hallelujah. How many know one great way to do that? Is what? Start praying in other tongues. To spend time, hour after hour, giving ourselves over to the Holy Spirit. Letting him help us to understand that is part of the grace. It is a grace that God gives us to be able to pray in the Holy Spirit. He is a power within us. He helps us to understand our spiritual man. Hebrews 12:5. Says that we could, as an individual, these are things that can happen to individuals. Hallelujah. We don't want to frustrate the grace of God, do we? We don't want to set it aside or treat it as meaningless. We don't want to fall from that grace by trying to do it under our own power. Hallelujah. Amen. That would definitely You know, we want to draw upon that ability that's in us and that God works in us. And so Hebrews chapter 10, verse 29. Of how much sorer punishment suppose ye shall he be thought worthy who is trodden under foot the Son of God and has counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing and has done despite unto the Spirit of grace. How did he do despite? By counting an unholy thing. He's saying the things that were wrought for him, the sacrifice of Christ, is unholy. And he brings despite. A person could bring despite to the grace of God or fall short of the grace of God. In other words, they're not acknowledging everything that Jesus did. And they're saying that is not good. They fall short of his grace. Of course, how many know if you're not putting your faith in Jesus, you're not going to heaven. It's Jesus or perish, right? Everybody knows that, right? He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. We either receive Christ Jesus or we're going to perish, be lost without him. And they do despite here, or they fall short of the Spirit of grace. Amen. The grace of God, which is available. He's saying here, what more punishment is there going to be? What do you think? He is worthy who has trodden underfoot the Son of God. Oh, Lord. And how did they do it, really? By saying, hey, this is exactly what Paul's saying. Don't go back under the law. If you go back under the law, there's no hope for you. And so that's what we're saying. It does despite to what God has said, the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah, the grace of God. And in Jude chapter 4, how many remember Jude? It has one chapter, verse 4. We can turn the grace of God into lasciviousness, or we would say lewdness, unholy living. Amen. Not living righteously, or, you know, living under all kinds of evils, really what it means, all kinds of evil. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness or all manner of evil, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, what do you mean denying the Lord? Well, they weren't denying him by saying, I don't believe in him. I deny the Lord. They were coming in unaware and they were saying, it's okay. Don't worry about what you do. God's not concerned about your little sins here and there or your unholiness. You just go ahead and live for God. See, they were denying, in that sense, they're denying the Lord Jesus Christ. Because they were allowing lasciviousness and not really saying, hey, the grace of God is in you so that you can overcome, so that you can walk free, so that you can allow him to rise up on the inside of you, and the greater one that lives in you will empower you to walk what? In true righteousness and true holiness. So we see that grace is a central and continuous theme throughout the scripture. We really hope to know and understand God. Okay, if we want to know and we hope to really understand God and who we are in Christ, you know, it is very more difficult to do so. We really need to understand the grace of God. Hallelujah. His grace is the essence of who he is and is the basis for how he acts on our behalf. His grace is the empowering force behind who we become and all that we are enabled to do for him. Hallelujah. How many want a little more grace in your life? How many know that there is some grace for you? Hallelujah. How do we receive it? Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16 says that we come boldly, what, to the throne of grace. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's read that scripture a minute. I like to know. Sometimes we can understand some things, but you say, well, different individuals can have different experience in that grace. We want to honor the grace of God. We want to receive the grace of God. We want to let what Jesus' sacrifice did for us in its full power and might work in us. Amen. We want to let that grace work in us and work with God in His grace. Verse 16, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Hallelujah. How many know we have grace to help in time of need? Whatever our need may be, there is grace available for you. So, hallelujah. I'm kind of just recapping and looking at some things that we've looked at. But more than that, I want us to realize that it is up to us to take hold of and receive the grace of God. Yes, we're saved by grace. Grace is part of who God is. And when we can understand that it is His loving kindness, His tender mercies toward us, even though we don't deserve it, even though we could never earn it, God said it is His benevolent grace. It is His goodness, His kindness. It is like a benefit. You know, He says, this is what I give you. I give you my loving kindness and my goodness, and I work with you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, I'm kind of shifting gears a little bit, but I want us to take a look just for a moment, because there's so much of the grace of God, and there's a lot about the grace of God in the Bible. And we're seeing that more and more. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 2, we see a lot of times, how many ever read your Bible and you see the first two or three verses there? And, you know, if you ask the scholars, they say, well, that's the, you know, we would say the introduction or the what, you know, the salutation. They're saying hello, right? And then a lot of times you see the same kind of things. Two or three verses at the end of the chapter, right? End of the book, I mean, sorry. At the end of the book, and it's they're saying what? Goodbye to you. And many times we see God's grace mentioned. And I think if we look just a little bit tonight, we can see a little more meaning in these salutations and the benedictions that are in these books. It's quite interesting here in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 2. He said, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. And then if we look here in Ephesians chapter 6, the end of the book here, verse 24, which is the very last verse, says, grace be with you all. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. Hallelujah. So here we see they're talking about grace. Paul mentions it and he kind of greets them and he says, grace to you. And when he ends, they're saying, grace be with all them that love our Lord. Grace be with everybody here that loves Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. With all sincerity. And so we see here that these verses kind of, they're saying what? Hello and goodbye here in the book of Ephesians. And it's kind of the standard greeting before Jesus came on the scene. They had a standard greeting. And a lot of times the Hebrews, they would say what? Shalom or peace. In the Hebrew language, nothing missing, nothing broken. Shalom, be at peace. And Paul and other New Testament writers, they added the word grace. And in the Greek, it's charis, and charis. And it's to the greeting, and they added that grace to the greeting, making it a very powerful statement. 17 times in the New Testament, there's some variation of grace and peace to you is used in expressing blessing, to God's people 17 different times. And so in the beginning, God's grace to mankind, Jesus, who brought the peace every Old Testament believer had sought. The fact that grace is always used first indicates that grace is the root of what God did for us through Jesus, while peace follows as the fruit of His work in us. Amen? Of what He accomplished. Him working, His gracious and precious work which He accomplished. And so we see here, a lot of times they added that. They would say, grace and peace. Because, how many know, that's what happens with language sometimes. We add some things. Because the Gentiles are coming in, the Greeks and so forth. And so you say, hey, grace to you. Because they would say grace, you know. And they would say, you know, peace. And so he added it together, making it even more powerful. You know, so they're here with one another saying, hey, hello, how are you? That's about what we say, isn't it? Hello, how are you? We don't really expect any great response, do we? You know, you say, hey, how you doing? Hi. You know, you're just greeting, right? You're just saying it's in passing maybe sometimes, or just being kind, expecting we're not really expecting any great meaningful answer, are we? Hey, Joe. Oh, hi. How you doing? Yeah, fine, you know. But we're not there. But we're not really saying anything greatly profound in our greeting. So, because we usually say, hey, how are you? Or see you later. Something very simple. And so there's no real major communication going on, is there? I mean, in our language, in the English language. And sometimes we skip over these things thinking they're just making a formality. But how many know every word of God has been given for us to gain something from? And the words here give us a different perspective, you know, when we realize that all scripture is given to us, right? All scripture that is profitable for inspiration to us. Amen. 2 Timothy 3:16. And so that would include that. Let's look at that real quick. I'm going to read that. I know we know what it says, but let's look at 2 Timothy 3:16. And let's look at it. It says all scripture. That means all. That means the salutations too, right? It's given by God, and it's profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So all scripture is given by God. And it can inspire us. It is profitable for us. And I'm pretty convinced here. I don't think he said these just in formality. I think there was a purpose, there's a reason. And we could allow God to encourage us and strengthen us in these things. The grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ occurs in Romans 1 verse 7. It occurs 10 times in the book of Romans here, so. But throughout the New Testament, excuse me. But in Romans chapter 1 verse 7. I sure wrote those down probably. Huh? I just read them. But praise the Lord. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And so we see in also we'll read a couple of these. Ephesians, we already read Ephesians 1:2. Philippians chapter 1 verse 2. Philippians 1:2. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So here's another place, and many others in Colossians 1-2, in 1 Thessalonians 1-1, in 2 Thessalonians 1-2, and in Philemon verse 3. You want to read those again, sister? It's here, and we see this same occurrence. Grace be unto you in peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's here in the New Testament, 10 different times, and I think that makes a difference. There's a reason. He didn't just say it to be saying it. They said it with meaning and with something that is much more powerful than we realize, especially when we realize grace is God's ability, God's strength in us, God working with us, God's benevolent kindness to us. That he's saying, here you go, grace and peace. Shalom, nothing missing, nothing broken. For it is the grace of God that brings nothing missing, nothing broken. All right, and we see the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you here. And this phrase occurs 9 times in the New Testament. Romans 16 at the end. Let's look there real quick. We were in Romans. Let's back up a hair. Romans chapter 16, verse 20, and then 24. It says, and the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. And then he says in 24, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. So this is the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ being with you. And it's mentioned 9 different times. Here in Romans 16, 20 and 24, 1 Corinthians 16, verse 23. We're right here in 1 Corinthians. Go to the very end there, chapter 16, verse 24. It's the grace, 1 Corinthians 16, 23, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. My love be with you all in Christ Jesus. Amen. So here we see again the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. How many want his grace with you? Paul said, let the grace of God, let the power of God, the influence of God in your heart be with you. May it empower you. May he strengthen you from that inner man that's in you. Hallelujah. Let's look at one other one. Let's look at, I'll give you the scriptures if you want to. 1 Corinthians 16, 23, we just said. Galatians 6, verse 18. Philippians 4, 23. 1 Thessalonians 5:28, 2 Thessalonians 3:18, Philemon 1:25, and Revelation 22, verse 21. Let's look at that one. Let's look at the last one there. Let's turn to Revelation 22:21. We don't read out of that book too much, do we? Just a few things. But there it is again, the very end here. Well, the end of the 22nd chapter, right before he says amen. It says, and grace, and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Right there at the end of the Bible, even. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all, John said. Amen. Finishing his revelation, the great revelation of Jesus Christ. And of some of the end times and what's going to happen. So we saw grace and peace from God our Father, Lord Jesus Christ. That phrase is 17 times. We see the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. That's used 9 different times here in the New Testament. We have the grace of God. Hallelujah. Grace be with you all. And it occurs 5 different times here in the New Testament. Grace be with you or with you all. Let's look at Colossians chapter 4. We're going to turn a little bit further over here. Colossians chapter 4, verse number 18. I believe it's the last verse here. And it is. Colossians 4:18. The salutation by the hand of me, Paul. Remember my bonds. Grace be with you. Amen. He's saying, remember me, but grace. Let that grace rest upon you. Let the favor of God, let the goodness of God. We sing about the goodness of God tonight, how good he is. Amen. God is so good. He's so good to me. Is he so good to you? Amen. He so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. Whoever believes in him wouldn't perish, but have everlasting life. He said, I didn't come to condemn the world, but that the world through him what might be saved. God is so good. Amen. His grace is that. It is what empowers us. It is what he has given to mankind. His goodness. His grace be with you. Hallelujah. Well, I'm going to just... Yeah, let's look at one other one. Let's see. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 13, verse 25. We'll see here once again, God's grace. He's saying, grace be with you. So maybe we should look a little more closely at some of these salutations, some of these benedictions, these hellos and goodbyes. Amen. Hello, Joey. They're a little more powerful than what you and I do. Amen. We say, oh, bye, see you later, whatever, you know. But here he's saying he's intentionally saying again here, Hebrews 13:25, grace be with you all. Amen. Hallelujah. Maybe we should start saying that. Amen. May God's grace, grace be with you. Grace be with you all. Grace and peace to you in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's good to see you. Grace to you. Amen. Hallelujah. God's influence be to you. God's power living in you. God's goodness be upon you. His mercy, his loving kindness be upon you. His benevolent acts be upon you. Hallelujah. Amen. His grace. All that he provided. All right. And that's God's great grace be with you. Okay. I've got 1, 2, 3. I got 3 or 4 more here. Also, we see grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord and Jesus Christ our Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. And this occurs 4 times in the New Testament. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Just back up a little bit here. 1 Timothy from Hebrews. Unless you got your phone, you could just tap over there. 1 Timothy 1 verse 2. It says, unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. Hallelujah. How many likes that greeting? Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. And then also in 2 Timothy, just a few pages over here. Chapter 1 and verse number 2. And he says again, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. Now here again in these, you know, and especially here in 2 Timothy, but there, you know, there was quite a bit of persecution happening. You know, this is where Paul had said, for God isn't giving you a spirit of fear, but a power and a love, a sound mind, Timothy. I know. You know, I remember the gifts that God imparted to you. Stir those gifts up when hands were laid upon you. Stir them up, Timothy. He's saying right here at the beginning, though, grace, Timothy, mercy. Oh, hallelujah. Woohoo. And peace from God the Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. So, that's also mentioned in Titus chapter 1 verse 4 and 2 John verse 3. Grace, mercy, and peace. Hallelujah. From God our Father. Okay. And then here is the next greeting. It says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. This has occurred one time. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 14. How many have heard that before? I'm sure maybe you have or haven't, but here he's talking about the koinonia, or the fellowship that we have with God. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 14. It's right here at the end. It says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Hallelujah. How many want that communion, that divine fellowship, he's saying here, of the Holy Spirit, of the Holy Ghost, be with you all. Glory to God. They were mindful of that inner man. Paul was constantly reminding them of the grace of God. The other writers of the Bible, John and other writers, they would remind one another of the grace of God, the empowerment that God has given you. Don't forget it. And here they said also in the communion or in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Woo, glory. How many know there's great fellowship in the Holy Ghost? With the grace of God. Hallelujah. Are you seeing a little bit more here? There's another phrase that's used, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 24. It says, grace be with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 24. That's just in the New Testament there, right after Galatians. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ, what in sincerity. Amen. Glory to God. He's talking to the whole church there, the whole Ephesian church. He says, grace. Grace be with all of them that love our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, in what sincerity. How many love God with all your heart? You're sincere in your love for God. I believe you are. I believe all of us really are. Sometimes we, you know, we got to remember it's what from that. That's the part of God. It works in and through our spirit. He works in us where all permanent change really takes place. I've got two more here for tonight. It says, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 2. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 2. I'll try to talk a little faster. It says, grace and peace be multiplied to you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. And that is the only place that that one is used. And then we have one more, and it's in Revelation chapter 1, verse 4. Revelation chapter 1, verse 4. And I think it's interesting, the different You know, they're pretty much the same, but slightly different. Salutations and benedictions that come about. But they all are dealing with the grace of God. They're all dealing with God's goodness, God's favor upon you. May His kindness, His goodness, His power that works in you continue. May it be with you. Let it work. May God's kindness and goodness, may His favor, unmerited favor, be with you. Amen. But verse 4 and John to the seven churches, Revelation 1:4. John to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be to you and peace from Him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before His throne. Oh, hallelujah. Grace to you and peace from Him who is and who was and who is to come. Glory to God. Do you sense His grace tonight? You know, we go to that throne, the grace of God. God working in us. God working through us. Let's just say it out loud tonight. Let's say, Father, I thank You for this. I thank You today, Lord, that You, Lord Jesus, are releasing grace. That You're releasing peace and a mercy into my life. Thank You that Your grace, Your love, and the communion of the Holy Spirit are mine today. Amen. How many believe that? His grace, His mercy, His love, the communion of the Holy Spirit. Because it is the grace of God that empowers you and I. It's what gives strength to our spirit. And we'll talk about some more, because there's, you know, that grace. We've mentioned the grace for salvation. But there's other types that God works in us, that the grace of God does. It strengthens us. It sustains us. Amen. How many know there's the standing grace that He gives us to stand, to continue to walk with Him? There's a power in that. And God doesn't just save us, but He gives us that grace to walk with Him, to let Him empower us, to have great communion with the Holy Spirit, and to walk with Him. Amen. We'll talk more about it here, and as we go along. I know I'm going kind of slow, but I really want us to understand, because I know we hear a lot about, you know, sometimes in our circles anyway, you know, about the wrongness of the grace of God. But there's a lot of good things with God's grace. Amen. It is His kindness to us. It is His goodness in us. It is Him empowering us and working with us. See, we have something to do with it. We allow it to come. We put our faith with that. Amen. And we know that He helps us in all ways. Hallelujah. Father, we thank You for Your grace tonight. We thank You for Your grace that's in us and with us and for us, Lord, that You are saying grace to You tonight, Lord. You're saying grace and peace and mercy and communion with the Holy Spirit to us, Lord. We thank You for it. We receive it, Father. And Lord, we ask You to help us to continue as we go forward to walk in it. That, Lord, You would give us Your strength for our weaknesses. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Well, if you came specifically for prayer tonight, be glad to pray with you. If not, we are dismissed.